Producer Jay Sekulow, case closed. My analysis of this week's Mueller hearing.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. And it's great to be back in our studio after a week in Washington, D.C. But, you know, I haven't had a real chance to speak to our audience, except I think I was on with you, Jordan, once for like 5 minutes.
Yes, by cell.
Yeah, by cell. And it was probably not such a good signal. But I'm back in our studio, and I want to give you, we're going to spend today going through my analysis of exactly what has taken place here, what I believe is the reality of what we saw this week, and why I say without any hesitation whatsoever that the case is closed. And you'll see these kind of little, I think my colleague Rudy Giuliani said, you'll see these hands come up every once in a while, we just bat them back down. But look, the Bob Mueller hearing was their last attempt, or best attempt, if they would, that's what they would say, to have breathed life into a report, to the Mueller report. And it certainly did not do that. And then to take it a step further, I think it's pretty fair to say that, and a lot of people have challenged Bob Mueller on this as far as his performance, but putting the performance aside, let me just tell you this, it's very hard to defend the indefensible. And that report is indefensible. And I think it's very clear now, we know that Bob Mueller didn't write it. We also know that it was inconsistent in its start. I think one of the most telling aspects of the lack of understanding of the report by Mueller and his team was the fact that they made this. And so much of the media went off on this collusion issue. Well, they didn't find him, that there was sufficient evidence for conspiracy and there wasn't sufficient evidence for coordination. But then the media was saying, but they didn't say that there wasn't collusion. And then Bob Mueller on page 180 of his own report, and we pointed this out before, 180 of his own report said that they view collusion for the purpose of the report as the equivalent of conspiracy. And they didn't, of course, Bob didn't know that answer either. But then I think one of the most telling aspects was when the question by Congressman Ted Lieu of California, where he tries to get Bob Mueller to say, and Bob does the first time say, but for the OLC opinion, you would have recommended obstruction charges against the president. But for the OLC opinion, he says yes. And then he has to come back at the beginning of the Intel hearing and say, I said that incorrectly. We never made a determination of culpability. That's vastly different then, but for, we would have done it. We never even got to that point, which is what I've been saying for the last 2.5 months. So that's where it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were there. This has been something you've been living for the entire 2 years of the report, and finally culminating with Bob Mueller testifying before these two different House committees. For your first take, going into it, what did you expect? Before this all started, did you think ever that there was ever a chance Bob Mueller, even though you wouldn't probably say it publicly, but would deviate and be really nasty?
So I'm going to give you the behind the scenes kind of what was going on a little bit here, because I think some of it's now a little bit public. So there were some major changes in format that took place during the 48 hours leading up to this. Yeah. And it started with this. Word was received that Aaron Zebley and some of the Bob Mueller's other team members, although they're no longer employed by the Justice Department, would be sitting behind him during the hearing. That's not that unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it was, well, Aaron Zebley, who's one of his principal deputy, who I dealt with some, will be sitting next to Bob Mueller. Well, that's kind of unusual because Bob Mueller is not a fact witness. He is like the expert witness. This is the Mueller report. Then it was, and this happened within hours, it started moving. Then it was, Aaron Zebley is going to be sworn in. After the break, I'm going to get into all that and what I think was going on there.
Yeah. He wasn't allowed to talk. Ultimately, was not allowed to.
Well, he could have in the second hearing. He was sworn in as a witness.
He was sworn in, but he never spoke.
No, we'll get into the. I'll give you all the behind the scenes on all that.
By the way, always cut him out of every picture.
It was interesting.
We'll see a hand coming across. Folks, this is a matching challenge month of July. Remember that FOIA request we have filed with the Department of Justice and FBI. To get to the bottom of Jim Comey's spies that has now been sent. We got a blog up at ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ in the month of July. Your donation is doubled. Any financial contribution you can make, go to ACLJ.org. This is the time to donate.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. This really is the first time my dad's had the opportunity to sit down.
I look forward to talking to our listeners.
Yeah, sit down and take your call specifically on the Mueller hearings. What happened this week? Is he, again, to give you kind of a behind the scenes look at what was going on. So it's 1-800-684-3110. We are live. This is not something we pre-taped. So we can take your phone calls and you can ask him questions directly. 1-800-684-3110. I know you had a lot to say yesterday about Bob Mueller's performance. Now you can ask Jay Sekulow, the president's attorney, directly, and really the attorney overseeing all of this for the president. I want to make that clear in your role that you are the attorney that oversees really all of the president's outside legal work right now.
As it relates to any of this stuff. Yes. I mean, not business stuff, but right. on this, because all of these issues are constitutional issues.
Becoming more so even now.
Yeah, and you said that yesterday to me when we were talking, that now it's really maturing into separation of powers, Article 1, Article 2, constitutional law, which is, that's what I do. So, yeah, this is right in my...
Outside of the criminal element and now going into constitutional law.
Yeah, back into the constitutional elements. There's a great team in place, which I'm happy to be leading, but this is right what... I mean, this is the stuff I've been doing for 40 years.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's start. I want to walk people through this, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We encourage you to share it with Facebook and Periscope. Share it with your friends
as well. You want to start with how Ted Lieu tried to... get Bob Mueller to say we were going to indict the president, but we couldn't?
Okay, so let me set it up a little bit, because I think this is important. Look, this was the question you knew that had to be asked, right?
Yeah.
And that was because you had this challenge between in the initial report and how it meant, and it was this, what they call in the law, but for. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you didn't have the OLC opinion, would have you brought obstruction charges? That was the way it was postured. And in the report, he does not say that but for the OLC opinion, he would do it. He said there are multiple factors. He talked about fairness, due process, and he said difficult questions of law and fact, and that they were not going to reach a determination on culpability, which means their view of it. And then we'll get into the exoneration thing later. This is just on the OLC thing. So you know this question is going to be asked, and then, of course, it is asked, and...
Here we go. Here's Ted Lieu.
I'd like to ask you, the reason, again, that you did not indict Donald Trump is because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct?
That is correct. I want to add one correction to my testimony this morning. I want to go back to one thing that was said this morning by Mr. Lieu, who said, and I quote, "You didn't charge the president because of the OLC opinion." That is not the correct way to say it. As we say in the report, and as I said at the opening, we did not reach a determination as to whether the president committed a crime.
So they did not determine culpability, legal culpability, commission of an offense. This was, I watched the networks and all of the CNNs, everybody went to this huge announcement. And then, of course, the rollback, I will give them credit, they covered the rollback, but I'll ask Will, did they give it the coverage it got on the front end when Ted Lieu said that? No, of course not. But the fact of the matter is, that told me a lot. That told me that what was going on in this particular situation, and I think this was clear from Mattis. Number one, Bob Mueller didn't write this report. This whole operation was run by his deputies and his assistants. I think that became very clear. I think no matter what side you're on, that just became really obvious here. I mean, that's what it was. Then you take it a step further, and we'll get into some of the other things that were going on. I'm going to get into some of the behind the scenes with when they were bringing Aaron Zebley up and what I thought that meant. But the fact of the matter is, what's interesting to me is I suspect that statement, Jordan, just that one line there, and there's a couple of other ones where the pushback is very strong, that members of Congress will say, for instance, they'll make a legal conclusion, and then and Bob Mueller will say, and I think we need to have those ready, I do not agree with your conclusion. I do not agree with the way, I understand the elements, but that does not mean I agree with your legal conclusion.
No, I mean, and again, that we've got that sound.
Yep. We don't have it right now, but we're going to get it.
Okay.
So take me to, let's go back to the days before the hearing.
Yeah, so we'll get back to even before the hearing begins.
Yeah.
So before the hearing begins, you've got the media, the left, the Democrats. They think Bob Mueller is their savior for this moment, that he is going to take the Mueller report
this was gonna be the defining
and make
moment.
The word into a Hollywood-style movie. This is going to be like Watergate hearings, and everybody in the country is going to say, impeach the president today.
So here's what happens. About 36 hours before this was to go, we start getting word about Aaron Zebley, the deputy. Initially, I said he was going to be seated behind Bob with a couple of the others. It was Andrew Goldstein, James Quarles. These are all people I worked with during the course of this investigation. These were lawyers representing special counsel's office. I worked with them. Our team worked with them. And then, so that's not unusual for them. As you know, Jordan, you've been involved in those. Yeah. Sitting behind, that's normal. Then they wanted Aaron Zebley up at the counsel table. That is unusual because Bob Mueller's not there as a witness of an incident. He's there as the author of the report.
Yeah.
So that was odd, but okay. Then the swearing him in as a witness came. And that's when the flurry of activity started. And I think the Democrats, this is my surmising what happened here. That request came for Mueller to have Zebley sworn in. And it really was a request coming from Mueller and his team.
Yeah.
For Zebley to be sworn in as a witness. That indicated to me that Bob was not so sure on the details of the report.
Yeah.
But it was a highly unusual request. I think the calculation was that I think the Democrats' calculation was that there would be strenuous objection to this to the point that we would try to do something, which, of course, we didn't do. So they were betting on this hearing not taking place.
Yeah.
And then being able to run with the idea that, you know, we've canceled the hearing.
You've stopped the hearing.
So they wanted Zebley up there?
That was a bad sign for Bob Mueller immediately when he needed an aide like that to sit there with page numbers for him.
Of course. And, you know, and then they wanted him to read the various chapters, which to Bob Mueller's credit, he wouldn't do. But then take it a step further, I think they were planning on some kind of constitutional showdown on this issue of Zebley coming in there and what does that mean. And he ends up getting sworn in on the intelligence one. He sat with Bob on both, was sworn in as a witness on the intelligence one, never spoke. But I think they were making a calculation that was somehow going to blow up the proceedings because they had to know quickly into it. Jerry Nadler had to quickly know that this was not going to go well.
At some point, I mean, maybe this is too behind the scenes, was he trying to replace – was Bob Mueller trying to replace himself with his deputy?
I don't know. I think
and not
I think what probably happened
a
was
deputy who may have been more aggressive for the Democrats because they seem very excited about this. The Democrats. I don't know if they were just playing that or they thought that you guys were going to step in.
I think they were playing. If that was the perception, I was so in the weeds.
Yes, they were like, yeah. See, look, he's bringing in more heat.
Yeah.
This is a guy
so I think that their impression really was that Bob was not ready to do this hearing. And that this really wasn't, but you know, they're going to put the best face forward on it. I mean, it's just kind of.
Only some of them have.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was Adam Schiff yesterday. I don't know if we had the sound on this. I think Adam Schiff yesterday night or yesterday afternoon said that the impeachment's really not a way to go here. It's going to be the election in 2020. It's just the time of that is just, it's reality. But by allowing this to just go forward, by the White House, the Justice Department allowing this to just go forward like this, what would have been a, you know, I think conservatives would have said if this was neutral, it would have been a win. This was a huge win because if the only line they had is the takeaway was the exoneration line,
yep,
which was really the only line they had, which A, was in his report, and B, was not the legal standard. I made that, I mean, I went on CNN that night with Chris Cuomo, who I appear on pretty often. And I'll tell you this on, I do think it's important to point out when the media is, even the media that's sometimes not so friendly, although I have a good relationship with Chris Cuomo, he said it. I mean, do we have that sound? I mean, this coming out of CNN.
Yeah, by 48.
Shocker for you. We'll do this light and tight tonight. I accept the premise, case closed. Good. I don't see another chapter in this. We'll see what happens politically.
Well, the case closed aspect was absolutely correct. And you'll see what happens to this politically. Let me tell you what's happened to this politically. This was their best shot. Now, they're talking about they want grand jury material. They want underlying information. This is all that you realize what they're doing.
They don't have enough votes for impeachment, and they're trying to keep their liberal base, which is up to 95, satisfied. That includes Nadler himself, but they said, like, would Nadler move forward with this because the judiciary could do it? He said, does he want to be judiciary chairman? Because Nancy Pelosi could remove him immediately.
Yeah.
So again, these guys, they talk tough, but Nancy Pelosi's that whole excuse, like, we need to have all these court cases. Those court cases have nothing to do with impeachment.
No, so here's what they're doing. They're filing a lawsuit, or they have filed a lawsuit against for the underlying materials to the Mueller report. So that's going to be tied up now in court for who knows how long.
The same thing's going to happen with Don McGahn. Courts are going to be reluctant to give that.
Very reluctant.
If they don't have impeachment.
Well, how about this? Don McGahn, who is was the White House counsel, who did testify multiple times before Bob Mueller's committee.
Yeah.
The House is demanding him. There's executive privilege. There's Article 2 issues there, great constitutional issues there. That's going to be litigated. So they're doing all of this knowing that there's no there. Exactly what Peter Strzok, I never thought I would agree with anything Peter Strzok said, but the no there was absolutely correct. There was and is no there.
I haven't agreed with Phil Mudd yesterday when he said, just leave me alone on this.
Well, I love that. I saw Phil Mudd at CNN. He actually was very nice. What did he say?
He's not my favorite, but he said, I would just hope they just stop talking about this and leave the American people alone.
Do we have that fight at home somewhere?
Alone.
Oh, we got to play that. I didn't get to hear it. This is good for me.
It's a funny one.
I get to hear some of this. It's good.
1-800-684-3110. We'll start taking your calls as we come back from this break, too, so you can questions for my dad as well and his unique perspective on this week. Being in Washington, D.C. as really the senior attorney for the president on these matters. Take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. We've got those FOIAs out on Jim Comey's spies. Because of your financial support, we can do that quickly. Go to aclj.org, donate today, and double the impact of your gift.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. Before this, you want to play?
Yeah, I'm just getting to see this
in the weeds on the news, and then by the time they had said this, you were already somewhere else on a different network. This is Phil Mudd. We don't often play Phil Mudd in a.
I saw Phil Mudd at CNN, and he was very nice.
Yeah, but we don't often generally agree with what he says,
no.
Or his analysis, and also his tone is a bit out there, to say the least. But I do completely agree with kind of how he says the American people likely feel and how Democrats should behave after Bob Mueller testified. It was end-to-end coverage, you know, on every network. What was it, 6 hours? Here is Phil Mudd's reaction. This was someone who has no fan of the president. Take a listen.
Phil Mudd, two words. They should shut up. They might see some indication of wrongdoing. A, they're, as you're suggesting, they will never reach the end of this in 15 months. And B, it's going to divide America. So if you can't reach a conclusion, and if it's bad for the country, regardless of whether you see some evidence of wrongdoing, do you think that you should pursue this? I'd say, A, for reasons of America, shut up. And B, I'm not a politician, but if you think Americans are going to say, I'm going to watch this show paint drying for another 15 months, I watch this myself, and I'd say, leave me alone. Find something else like healthcare to worry about.
Oh, I think this is it. This is like my first experience seeing this stuff. This is great. This is exactly, look, in that context, he's right about the enough already. I don't think they're going to, they're doing a press conference as we're on the air right now about what they're going to do. Is it Maxine Waters up there right now? Or I can't see in my studio. But anyways, they're up there talking Jackson Lee. I can barely see it. They're talking about the emoluments clause, which we won at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. One in the D.C., in the New York District Court, had a really good indication of a significant win out of the D.C. Circuit on a procedural aspect of that. So the fact they can keep doing this, and they will, which will keep all the lawyers busy, but the reality is there just is nothing there. And they're going to try to do this, but Nancy Pelosi knows they are not starting impeachment proceedings against the President of the United States in August or October.
And this is Adam Schiff yesterday. This is he cannot stand the president, believed that there was going to be collusion, still believes that there was a conspiracy between the Trump campaign. I mean, he's still out there with that. But then if you believe that, hey, Adam Schiff, do you support impeachment? Here he is on CNN. Take a listen.
Should we put the country through an impeachment? I haven't been convinced yet that we should. And going through that kind of momentous and disruptive experience for the country, I think, is not something we go into lightly.
They're not doing it. There's no high crime or misdemeanor. Okay? Mueller couldn't determine culpability. By the way, that other thing, that gratuitous statement when, you know, they thought it was a big deal. Could you, after the president's out of office, can a president be indicted? That's like saying, if you robbed a bank, could you be indicted for robbing a bank? Yes. You could be indicted for robbing a bank if you robbed a bank. Here's what they ignore. The Department of Justice made a conclusion that there was no obstructive intent. So the case is closed. It's done. Finished. I'm like with Phil Mudd. Go on to something else. They're not going to, which will keep all of us busy, but that's the reality.
Do you believe that this was like, and I don't know if it was Bob Mueller, but he definitely is very close with Jim Comey. So we know Jim Comey, because he said it, leaked the documents to get a special counsel appointment.
Yep.
Eventually,
I don't think Jim Comey was too happy with what happened the other night.
Over time, the special counsel's team, as you said, they didn't know initially, I guess, because, listen, as tough of prosecutors they are, they have all these careers, they never tried to go after a president before, not one of them.
Right.
So maybe they weren't familiar with that OLC memo so well. And you said it took them about a year into their job.
That was another thing. This, from the outset, we knew that the OLC memo was our guiding principle. I will tell you, and I've said it on TV now, so it's not public. We were dealing with that until, I believe it was after, really, my colleague Jane and Marty Raskin have the exact dates, but I think April and May of last year we were still
a year after his appointment.
Dealing with whether they were going to be bound by that or not.
But, you know, so once they assume that, that they are bound by it, I think that their goal, I mean, I don't know if it's Bob Mueller's, but certainly Andrew Weissman, who was at Hillary Clinton's watch party, and Jeannie Ray, who was Hillary Clinton's attorney, goal was to get the impeachment.
Yeah.
Okay, so put as much info as you can to get impeachment. I think Jim Comey succeeded. He got the special counsel. Now, it might turn on him later in life.
He probably never started that.
But because
probably
now
wishes he never started. Now he's fired
John Durham.
Probably,
oh, I'm sure Peter Schrock does too.
Yeah, I'm sure Peter Schrock does. I'm quite sure that when this information comes out about the FBI agent or analyst in the White House through the guise of the NSA, I don't think that's going to bode well for James Comey.
No.
How many tweets has James Comey sent out in the last 4 days? Will's telling me zero. Can we double check that? Yeah. Not a lot of tweets coming out of Jim Comey right now.
So ultimately, this whole long process, which did divide the country, still is dividing the country, and likely will through the election, was started by Jim Comey, and it was going to be finished by Rob Mueller and his team of angry Democrat prosecutors. Right. And now what we realize is it was Andrew Weissman, though Bob Mueller didn't want to admit it, who put that whole team together. And Andrew Weiss was literally at Hillary Clinton's election night party dead. And our professional rules of responsibility, they tell us, don't give the appearance of impropriety, the appearance of bias if you were prosecuting a case. There was so much apparent, there was real bias here, not just the appearance. If you're at the election night party of the candidate who lost, it doesn't matter how good of an attorney you are, like Bob Mueller said, you taint the investigation.
The first
so
thing
you
do is,
team.
You know, he said we don't ask political positions or opinions. The first thing you do in a law firm, you get a case. What's the first thing you do? Conflicts check.
Yeah, I mean,
have you represented parties that might be this might be viewed as even the appearance of impropriety in a conflict? And Bob's answer to that was, I didn't ask, I didn't know, I learned after, and did nothing about it. By the way,
but Jeannie Ray, he said,
but you know what I'm glad
he said, yes, I knew she were Clinton, but then the follow up question was, did you know that when you hired her? No.
No, because they didn't do a conflicts checks. Here's the thing I'm going to tell you.
I bet Andrew Weissman knew.
Here's the thing I'm going to tell you. So you had all of these people trying to do everything they could to come up with some kind of crime. This is what you need to understand. And they could not do it. They could not get it to where the special counsel's office, as Bob Mueller said, could not and did not make a determination on culpability or criminality.
You want to try to take one phone call in this first half hour, then we're going to take more of your
minutes,
calls as we come back.
Yeah.
Let's take Rob in Arkansas line two. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rob.
Hello. Blessings from Harrison, Arkansas, Jay.
Great.
Been listening to your show quite a long time, never
Great.
Called.
Thanks.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about the impetus to this whole, I guess when it started, where they got the FISA warrant.
Yeah.
And that was the Steele dossier.
Right.
And so I heard Jim Jordan and I know the Republicans did a good job, you know, during the hearing saying the good news is it's going to be looked into. And I believe that. I guess my biggest question is that, first of all, is that truly the case that that was the impetus?
Well, Bob Mueller, first of all, said he didn't know much about Fusion GPS. Did he not even know who they were? I mean, I can't remember. Maybe I don't know if we have that sound or we'll save it for we'll save it for in a moment. But because he was asked specifically about that and he said it was outside of his purview. So, I mean, that was the whole way this thing started. But now, look, there's an entire counter-investigation going on right now that's going to find out everything. You got Bill Barr has tasked U.S. Attorney Durham to get to the bottom of this. You got the stuff going on with Hubbard out in Utah. You got Horowitz's report coming out probably September. We're going to find out what was going on here. And this is going to be the next volume of this book is going to be a much better book. And probably a much better movie.
Folks, remember, second half hour coming up. We're going to start taking more of your phone calls, too. For those of you hanging on, keep hanging on. We do have one line open, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, the matching challenge, month of July. Whatever you can donate financially to ACLJ, your support is doubled. We have a group of donors ready to match every donation that's made in the month of July. Donate now financially. This is your contribution. You double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.com. org. It's how we do the work that we do. We'll be right back. Second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, I will say it is good to be back in the studio after being in Washington. And it's now I'm kind of getting updated myself on what the media response to all this was. I'm giving you kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what was going on. Needless to say, I am very pleased with the conclusion of the Mueller hearing, which I think was the capstone on this entire case. You now got Jerry Nadler filing lawsuits to get additional information. That'll be tied up in court. They're asking for underlying documents and grand jury material on the Mueller report. That's going to be tied up in court. They initiated it, by the way. They're going to file a lawsuit to get the former White House counsel, Don McGahn, to testify. That'll be tied up in court. I mean, that's just the nature of what's going to take place now. So with all of that said, I will tell you this. This was a very good week for the president. I think it was a very good week for the country because it was, boy, you know, it's always, you know, there's all this obstruction stuff we've been talking about, but on the collusion conspiracy issue, that set of questioning, and do we have that one on page 180? I think this is very important. The media was saying, yes, there was no evidence of conspiracy. There was no evidence of cooperation or sufficient evidence for a criminal charge, but that there was, in fact, collusion. I mean, my friend George Stephanopoulos, who I like, said there is evidence of collusion, Mr. President. That's just not true. That there was collusion, actually, is what he said. And we had others, I think, I know Anderson Cooper, others were saying this doesn't mean there wasn't collusion. And then there was this great exchange about what is collusion, because it's not a legal term of art. Let's play that.
Although your report states collusion is not a specific offense or a term of art in the federal criminal law, conspiracy is.
Yes.
In the colloquial context, known public context, collusion and conspiracy are essentially synonymous terms, correct?
No.
If no, on page 180 of volume 1 of your report, you wrote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the General Federal Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. You said at your May 29th press conference and here today, you choose your words carefully. Are you sitting here today testifying something different than what your report states?
Well, what I'm asking is if you can give me the citation, I can look at the citation and evaluate whether it is accurate.
Okay, let me just be clarified. You stated that you would stay within the report. I just stated your report back to you. And you said that collusion and conspiracy were not synonymous terms. That was your answer, was no.
That's correct.
In that, page 180 of volume 1 of your report, it says, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in General Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. Now, you said you chose your words carefully. Are you contradicting your report right now?
Not when I read it.
Oh, boy. Does that not just sum it all up? I mean, it just sums it all up right there. So I'll take some questions now.
All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll go to order people have been holding on already now. Kelly in Texas on line 6. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a new supporter of ACLJ. I think you guys do great work.
Thank you.
I have a comment and then two questions. My comment is, it seems like the team of lawyers walked in with a preconceived idea of what they wanted the outcome to be. So I'm wondering, is there any repercussions for the work that they did? Because it seems like they just didn't really pay attention to what the evidence really was, that, you know, the president didn't really commit a crime. And then two, will Andrew Weissman ever be disbarred? Because he seems like he's so unethical.
No, I don't think I don't like all, you know, this political disbarment nonsense. I mean, I get people file. I mean, you've seen this. I mean, the people will file it. Oh, I disagree with them. They should be disbarred. No, that's not how it works. That's not the way it works. Let me tell you what you do. It's elections, folks. That's what that is. But listen, Nancy Pelosi's trying to control her caucus from making a disastrous move. If they started an article of impeachment or an impeachment inquiry against the president, do you realize what that would do to the Republican base? I'm gonna let you're the political guy.
President will definitely win. I mean, if they start impeachment, and she will no longer be Speaker of the House.
There you go.
That's what I think. If they start an impeachment, I think that's why Adam Schiff. Who is Mr. There's still collusion. There's still collusion and conspiracy. But not impeach. Don't impeach. I mean, I believe this crimes, but don't impeach. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air to support the work of the ACLJ in our Matching Challenge month of July. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also giving you kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what took place over this last week. A very good week for my client, the President of the United States. A very good week also for the country, and I think a very good week for the Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think this is an exchange people would like your thoughts on, Dad. This is John Ratcliffe. Congressman Ratcliffe asks, basically, anyone else ever been treated like this by the Department of Justice in history?
Yep.
And you would think Bob Mueller would have an answer for that, or at least some kind of similar examples,
yep,
if there were any, by 27.
Which DOJ policy or principle set forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined? Where does that language come from, Director? Where is the DOJ policy that says that? Can you, let me make it easier. Can you give me an example other than Donald Trump where the Justice Department determined that an investigated person was not exonerated because their innocence was not conclusively determined?
I cannot, but this is a unique situation, so we're going to change the burden of proof? This is where the whole nonsense with exonerate. We could not exonerate him, therefore what? What does that mean, by the way, Bob? I mean, this was such nonsense. But they put in there, his aides put in there a legal standard that is not they put in a standard that is not a legal standard. And they let that go in there. Did they not think we were all going to say, what are you talking about? Prosecutors don't exonerate. That's nonsense. All right, let's take a phone call.
Yeah, back to the phones. Let's go to Renee in Colorado on line 3. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I support and pray for the ACLJ. Clearly, Bob Mueller didn't write the report and probably didn't even read the report. How long and how far will the Dems continue to go with this? And will Trump be completely cleared before the 2020 election?
Well, he's been completely cleared. Let's be clear. Okay? So let's be clear here. There was no collusion. Not only was there no obstruction, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, and the Office of Legal Counsel concluded there was no obstructive act. So the president has been cleared. There's no legal proceeding against the president. There is this stuff that's going on in the House right now, which is mostly political theater. Well, not mostly. It is all political theater at this point. So, look, how long are they going to keep doing this? They're going on recess in about 3 hours. I suspect if you watch the news other than the press conferences today, people aren't going to be talking about this too much.
No.
And they may, but I mean,
I think that they'll have one guest on the Sunday show. You said you were going to do a lot of the Sunday shows, and a lot of they decided, well, the major networks decided they don't want to cover Bob Mueller's failure to give them a movie.
No Sunday shows.
I mean, I think they'll have one congressman on once you ask some questions.
To be honest, I mean, after it was over, I said, "This is why would we do this?" I think I had one request still open.
Yeah. Them.
No, but like the next morning, I was supposed to do all of them.
Yeah.
All of those got canceled.
Yeah, all the network shows. Yes. We're going to come back.
They didn't even morning shows.
Get into it.
I did Fox and Friends.
Yeah, but the networks did not even really get deeply into it.
No.
1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. We're taking people's phone calls now. Randall in Florida on line 5. Randall, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Randall.
Hey, Jay, thanks for all your hard work and all the guys and gals at ACLJ.
Thank you.
I agree the case is closed, at least as far as the special counsel Mueller goes. But what happens with Crossfire Hurricane and the investigations like into Michael Flynn?
Well, I don't know Flynn's case is about to be, he's facing is at this point, not that that's insignificant. He's got a sentencing hearing ahead. That's what's happening with Flynn. But there is going to be an investigation that's been launched now by the Department of Justice through Durham, the U.S. attorney, to find out how this all began. And as Bill Barr said at his recent hearing, he said, I think spying on a presidential campaign is a big deal. So we're going to find out.
Yeah. All right. Back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Joe in North Carolina online too. Joe, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, and my question, I just saw on TV yesterday after the meetings, and I can't remember who commented, but said that President Trump is still under investigations for 29 committees. Is there anybody, is it our congressman, who we need to call to and tell them, quit the committee investigations, you've wasted enough money?
Well, they have to listen. Congress is, I don't think there's 29, but there's a series. Let me tell you what's in court. This request for the tax or demand for the tax returns is in court. The emoluments issue, which is the clause of the Constitution that has never really been litigated, I think, since 1824 or ever, is in court, and we've won those so far, and I think we will win those. I think we win the tax one as well. I feel very confident about that. I will also tell you that these other investigations that are going on that you're seeing in the media, some of them are like the state New York attorney general's doing some business stuff. But understand what this is. Their moment came and is now passed. I mean, I don't think there's any political oomph left in this for them.
No, I mean, I think
after that performance,
they now remember the House of Representatives is now on a nearly 6-week break. That's where the impeachment
was. So what during that? I mean,
if it was a barnstormer like the media wanted it to be, they wanted their constituents to come back and tell them when they went to their districts, you must impeach, you must impeach. I mean, the moderates and everything. And instead, what is going to happen? Most districts are going to say, what are you doing to improve my health care? What are you doing to improve the situation at the border? What's going on with Iran? What's going on with North Korea? And if they are, these are Democrats, who's going to be our nominee to take on President Trump? Remember, there's two nights of Democrat debate next week, and the House is gone. So if they wanted their constituents, especially the far left who already supported impeachment, those members of Congress, if they thought that the moderate districts, these are districts that Donald Trump won and probably will win again as president of the United States, at least I think a majority of them, that they were going to go back and hear that their constituents tell them to go forward with impeachment, that's what their best hope was. That is not happening. There is no way following all of this since it's been released to the public since April. And so we've had from April to July of this nonstop in-depth coverage of the Mueller report, and they still thought until Bob Mueller testified no one really read it or cared about it. No one they care about it less now because Bob Mueller opened his mouth about it. And Dad, the reason I said is because it was so hard to read. And if things are hard to read, they're impossible to verbalize. It's impossible to take and the president said this, and listen, the president's been a TV show host. He understands it. If you have a bad script, lots of double negatives, lots of not, and can't not, all those things, then you cannot verbalize it. It doesn't sound sane. It sounds Like you're
it's indefensible.
Like there's something wrong with actually the words you're using, which I think actually is why people said, well, maybe there's something wrong with Bob Mueller. It wasn't something wrong with Bob Mueller. Something was wrong with the report.
That's exactly
right. The words
right.
he was trying to defend were not usable.
That whole exchange.
Or sensible.
That whole exchange.
So it makes you sound crazy when you try to use the language.
Right. I mean, you can't defend the indefensible. And that whole exchange with Doug Collins, we already played it. But my goodness. You equated collusion with conspiracy for the purpose of your report, and then you denied you said it. And then he said, I'm just reading your report. Is it worth playing that again? Do we have time? Maybe next segment? I think we need to play that one again. Let's grab another call.
Penny in Washington State on line one. Penny, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Penny.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment or an observation. You know, after watching your show daily for the last, you know, several months and years and stuff, you know, when we were going into this, you know, I heard you and your team speak a lot about, you know, when are us Americans finally going to see, you know, these people brought to justice? And your comment back to us was always, this could take years. This could take a long time. And I'm just amazed, sitting here watching all this play out, how quickly all of this has come to surface. And so I would just kind of like, you know, your thoughts and comments and on observations on that too. Are you
and over the moment they found out there was no conspiracy, collusion, coordination, whatever you want to call it, which they knew early on. And I think that should have been the end of this. So this did take, in my view, it took a long time to put the president. No president should ever be treated like this, and no other president should be treated like this. I think that's is ridiculous.
Yeah, final segment coming up. Get your phone call. We've been taking a lot of calls. We've opened up some lines. If you've got a question for my dad, this is the time to do it. I don't think we're going to be spending a lot of time next week talking about Bob Mueller anymore or the Mueller report. So if you have questions about what happened this week, we have the president's chief attorney on this issue live with us, who is the host of this broadcast, but in a special way, taking your questions. 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you right now, if you have questions, you better call right now to get them in. We got one segment coming up. Now, I can guarantee you we can get to all of the calls that come in the next minute or so, but you got to call right now. 1-800-684-3110. And to kind of wrap this up, we want to know kind of what your final questions are on this. 1-800-684-3110. Did it leave you with any more? I mean, it may have left people more confused. But I think everyone realizes this. They didn't find obstruction because they couldn't come to a conclusion on it. And it wasn't because of some memo. The memo would just have stopped the actual prosecution itself.
Right.
And the idea that, well, they would have been unfair to the president. They already made the statements that were unfair to the president by putting all the evidence out there that they thought was negative about it. They didn't get there. They're not going to get their impeachment. There wasn't a conspiracy. The president is not a Russian agent. So all that has been...
Remember they said that, you know, is the president a Russian agent? Don Lemon, is the president an agent for... I mean, this is absurd. Well, then they look absurd.
Here we go. We're right.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Say one of my all-time favorite tunes, and what a I missed that song. I missed being in the studio. We're gonna play that. By the way, Jay Sekulow Band concert,
July 31st.
So that is when next
Wednesday.
And it's the last day of our July matching challenge, and we like to do that with music. We did that in December. We're doing it in July. We're gonna do one in August too. So that's gonna be a fun one. A couple new tunes in there, and a lot of fun. It was from a live audience, so you're gonna want to watch that. Should be a blast. We'll share that with your friends. We'll get more. We're gonna, I think, start promoting in our social media this week. All right, we gotta do calls.
Yep, let's go right to the phones. Donna in California on line 5. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, okay, here's my question. If they say that the special counsel or has no power to exonerate anyone, then this is going back. Maybe I missed this, but who had the power to exonerate Hillary?
So you're talking about, did Jim Comey exonerate Hillary? Well, he said that he made the prosecutorial decision not to bring charges. Now, that's still not an exoneration. Now, the media wanted to play it that way. They say in that case, well, if there's charges not brought, you're exonerated. And that's typically actually true. Now, Jim Comey was out of line because it's not up to the FBI. It's up to the Department of Justice prosecutors to decide not to exonerate people, but to decide if they want to bring cases against people or not. And we've got a lot of information to share with you. We're going to wait till Monday's broadcast because we did the special show today live with you. A lot of new information to share with you about what Jim Comey and his team was handing out to the Clinton team on this very issue. But he never exonerated her. In fact, that's not a legal standard by prosecutors. It is
never.
But that is how the media took it, because there weren't criminal charges filed against her. And that's usually how you determine if someone is even going to be in the process of having to defend themselves. Were charges filed against them? Well, no. So that's why I think you can clearly say, even in this manner, Dad, with the president, regardless of however Bob Mueller wants to spin it, exonerated, whatever, free, no charges brought. Department of Justice says they will never bring charges.
Yeah, so here's the thing that's interesting.
That is basically,
I'm getting to see some of these statements that were coming out from some of the analysts. So MSNBC, not exactly a friend of the president, to say the least. This is Jeremy Bash from MSNBC. What his view of the hearing?
I have to say that far from breathing life into the report, he kind of sucked the life out of the report. I thought he was boring. I thought in some cases he was sort of evasive. He didn't want to explain or expand on his rationale. He seemed lost at times.
There you go. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, right back to the phone. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to try to get to all of these now. Let's go to Jeff in Maryland, line 4.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, sure. Jay. My simple question is, for someone who has been found guilty of a crime on the political level, I personally just don't understand why a common man can be convicted, tried, and maybe thrown in jail if that's the case, but within a few weeks to months. But these political figures, why does it take so long to actually...
Nonviolent crimes do not take weeks to bring to justice.
Or if you're not caught in the act of like a violent crime, a robbery.
Talking about a violent crime. I'm talking about, you know, white collar crimes take a long time. It could take years. They do take years.
Yeah.
Because they're complicated. They're paper cases. We call them paper cases based on documentary evidence, records. So it doesn't move that
also
way.
In these matters, I think because they are political figures,
yeah.
And I get your point here. Sometimes it does feel like it takes too long for these bad actors to be brought to justice. I think you're talking like the Peter Strzok types, Andrew McCabe types, right, who get fired and lose their pension. But because there's always the first line of, which is true with the presidents, right, too. And I think that, unfortunately, with the president and the special counsel's team, they didn't do a very good job. It was, is this for political purposes? Is this retribution for political purposes? So I think there
political
is something.
Retribution is a violation of the First
Amendment.
I think
there's something special you look at when you're dealing with prosecuting political actors.
Yes,
that's exactly I think that's fair. I think that that's actually fair for both sides, because or else we'd be. That's why our founders created impeachment. Because if you could just bring the president to court, imagine that. The president would be in court on everything.
That's why the Constitution, that's why the-
For political purposes.
That's why it's the Constitution's written the way it is. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Yep, let's go to Lorraine in New Jersey on line 6. Lorraine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lorraine.
Yes, hi. Thank you for all you do. God bless you and all of your people. I just want to make a comment that, and if you agree with me or not, I think that the reason they're on TV, the Dems just were on TV right now, making it seem like they still have a case. I think it's just to continue to smear the president for 2020, just to, so they could steer the people in one direction. They have nothing. They know they have nothing. Why do they continue to go on TV?
So I think this is to quote my friend, but also the late great Justice Scalia. This is like a ghoul in a late night horror show. That, you know, you put a stake in the heart and they still, you know, try to rise from the dead. And then you got it. So Rudy Giuliani said, you got to bat him back down again. Look, this is political right now. It's illegal stuff is really done. There's going to be legal skirmishes relating to this. But the legal work is done. I mean, as far as that was their hearing, that is their hearing. That's it. And, you know, they're going to try to call other witnesses. Some may come, some may not. I have no idea. They're going to go to court on others. That's going to take time. Believe me, this did not go the way they wanted it to go. This was not only a zero, it actually hurt them.
Let's go to Ashley in California online, too. Ashley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
Just three really quick things here. How come it takes so long for, you know, the Democrats to be held accountable for certain things versus when the Democrats do something, we have hearings automatically? And secondly, my second question is, how come President Trump is a fighter. He swings back. How come he is not doing something like something for presidential harassment? So, I mean, because
first of all, I will tell you, we just filed a lawsuit in the District of Columbia because on this stuff that's going on with New York, on the tax returns, and they're working in cahoots with the House. And
the president did do something.
So we did. And we said it's political retribution. And that's what this is. So I call it presidential harassment. And that's in court, right? I mean, we literally filed it. It got lost in the media shuffle because everything else was happening.
And they're not going to cover that. The mainstream media is not going to cover that the president's taking
it. Look, we're handling it the appropriate way to handle it. Let me say this also to our entire production team and everybody here at the ACLJ. You know, I've been in and out a lot the last months as all this was going on. But they've done a great job. Jordan's done a great job hosting this and continues to. And look, there's a lot more information that's going to be coming, but I really wanted to spend the last minute here thanking everybody, like I said, on our production team, social media teams, for getting information out, for continuing to carry on with things. So a huge thank you from me. And I got, of course, a thank you to our supporters at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Yep. And folks, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. You know, as we announced yesterday, we've got new FOIA filed. That's up at ACLJ.org to flush out the information about Jim Comey's spies at the Trump White House. And just saying that, I mean, yes, you could chuckle, but it's true. And it's, again, it's the best way to describe it, the easiest, quickest way to describe it. That FOIA got filed within, you know, 24 hours because of your support for the ACLJ. We've got more information to share with you on Monday about Jim Comey and what he was handing out to the Clinton attorneys. Like, what was in those immunity deals they all got? We're going to save that for Monday. But just know, more is coming, Jim Comey, from the American Center for Law and Justice. Why? Because of a FOIA that we filed and documents that were ultimately turned over to the ACLJ. This will be big news. All of this happens because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice. Donate during the Matching Challenge month of July, and your donations effectively double. ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional